So Mark chapter number 8, we'll read a story here that's pretty well-known story. I don't know how long you've been in church. Some of you might be newly saved. Some of you might have been raised in church. But nevertheless, in Mark chapter number 8, verse number 27 is where we'll pick up. And this is a pretty well-known story for those who have been in church a lot or know their Bible. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? All right, so this is Jesus, the creator of the world. And he's talking to his disciples. And he's saying, what are you hearing? You know, what are people saying, you know, who I am? Okay, who do they say I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias or Elijah, okay, and, these great men. And others, one of the prophets. So you're a prophet or you're like John the Baptist or you're Elijah, kind of come back. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter, now it's important who's speaking here, and Peter answereth and said unto him, thou art the Christ. Okay, now what the word Christ is, so Jesus has a name and he has a title. His name is what? Jesus, yeah, and his title is Christ. And so we always, you know, often use it together. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is also a title. But the word Christ is the idea of the anointed one. Okay, so this is the idea of when you put the word Christ there, people in those days, that would have been the idea of the Messiah. Okay, this would have been the idea of this is the one that the Jewish people are always looking to have come, and he's throughout the Old Testament, but mentioned kind of vaguely throughout the Old Testament that there's this person coming. In Isaiah, he's called the servant, okay? Way back in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about someone's going to come, and he's going to give the devil, the serpent, a head wound, okay? So all their life, the Jews were treated, you know, many times, the enemy's always trying to kill them, and there was always this person that was going to come, this deliverer, and, you know, this Messiah, as it were, this person that would solve their problems. And he comes along, and it was going to be a person anointed of God in a special way. And that's what Christ means, okay? So then Peter says, well, you're the one. You're the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the one that we've always been waiting for. Okay, and that's a good thing that Peter said this. And Jesus, verse 30, and he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them. Now it's shifted a little bit, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. So it's Peter again. But when he had turned about, when Jesus had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter saying, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. All right, and so this kind of ends this part that we're going to look at. But it's interesting that Peter in verse number 30, or verse 20, 29, the last phrase, he speaks up. Some people are saying, well, you know, they say you might be Elijah come back. They say you're a prophet. They say you're John the Baptist. And he said, well, who do you say? And Peter speaks up, who often did speak up first, and he would say, well, I know who you are. You're the Christ. I mean, you're the one that was always going to come. And then the Lord starts walking around the cities and starts saying, I'm going to be betrayed here in a little bit, and I'm going to be killed, and after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And Peter takes him away. Peter kind of comes alongside and says, don't say this. And he rebukes him. Okay? And the Lord turns to him and looks at all the disciples, and he says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Okay, and interesting that Peter has just got done saying that you're the Christ. And now the Lord is saying, now you're talking like Satan would talk. It's quite the swing, right? The pendulum swing. And then he says this, get thee behind me, Satan. And here's what the key verse. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. I want to talk to you today, this morning, speak to you for a little bit of time here on changing your thoughts by the Word of God. Changing your thoughts. Because he says here, thou savorest not. Now, I did a study on this, and you can look it up later if you want to. But so when I was in Bible college, I took some classes on the language of the Bible. Okay? The language of the Old Testament was written. What was the language of the Old Testament was written in originally? Hebrew and some Aramaic. And then, thank you, I was like, I was going to say Latin, but that wasn't right. The New Testament was written in what? Greek. Okay, so of the two, Greek is much easier to understand. So if you're going to do, if you're going to want to study ancient languages, Greek would be the one to go for first. But the Greek of the Bible is a dead language now. So it's not Greek language that would be spoken today. It's a dead language. In the language of the New Testament, this idea of savoring, I don't know how many of you use that word savorist, if you lately said to Brother Grant here, Brother Grant, thou savorist something, okay? It just doesn't use it. He'd be like, are you like talking about cooking or something? You know, like some type of flavor or, you know, some type of smell or something. Well, the idea of savoring has the idea of thinking, okay? And let me just tell you where the word, the Greek word behind it, you can look it up, is the word phren. Okay, and I'm going to spell it for you. It's P-H-R-E-N-E. Okay, now we do connect with this word, and this is very helpful. I don't know if you ever did study ancient languages. Sometimes it's interesting to do word studies, and like, you know, we get words from Latin and stuff like this that help us. But the word phren is, we use this word today in the sense of the mind, don't we? Like, for instance, schizophrenia, right? We've all heard that word. What's it talking about? Is it talking about you have like a skin disorder? You have itchy skin? Yeah, some type of something with your mind. Okay, and schizo would be the idea of, you know, there's two different things going on here. And so a person can have a thing like, the word freeing has to do with your mind. And what he says here, and I'll now tell you what the word explained by scholars would mean. Strong says this, it means to exercise the mind. In other words, to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion. And he says this, by implication, now this is a Greek word scholar, he says, by implication it means to be mentally disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction. So it implies a mental disposition. Okay, now this is important. So I give you all this stuff. I'll say it again, but just so you can get the final word is this idea of a mental disposition, okay? So he says this, it means to exercise the mind, because from this word phren, which gives us this idea of mind, whose name Vine, he says it means to think or to mind. Another guy says it means to be mindful of. And Strong says it means to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, by implication to be mentally disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction. So it implies a mental disposition and opinion, okay? So another way to sum this up, now I gave you all those words. I don't know if you're a person who writes down notes. I hope you are. Is this mic? Is this, so I'm being recorded here? All right, okay. So maybe I can't get too far away from this. If I take that out, are you guys going to say, no, put that back in? Because in our church, we never take the mic out. Okay, you never know. You know, there might be a trap door that opens up and I go down and you never see me again. I've been down in that basement. You may never see me again, for sure, right, if I go down there. And so I don't want to do anything inappropriate here. But another way you could sum up this word is the word mindset. Okay? And this is very important. So what the Lord is saying to him is, something's going on in your mind, Peter. And what he's saying is, your mindset is, and if you look at verse 33, your mindset is not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. All right? So there are things of God, and there are things of men. Could that be a true statement? Yes. Since that's what the Bible actually says. It says, Peter, you know what your mindset is all about? Not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So can I set this up for you today? Every one of our problems that we've ever had, okay, it's going to start up here. Okay? Because we might say, well, people have problems with the way they behave or act. But you know, you never act a certain way until you've thought about it first. Okay? So you never do something until the thought has already come. So I did a study one time on how many thoughts that we have. I think I have it written down here in my notes somewhere, about how many thoughts that we have in a day's time. And I think it's between like 40 and 70,000 thoughts go through our head a day. But those thoughts can kind of crystallize into a mindset. And so I can be somewhat or another, minded to do things or have a mindset about certain things. So let's say that I can make, we've heard this term, right? We can make our mind up about something. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we just have some thoughts about it? No, what it means is that I've had enough thoughts about it that now it's kind of crystallized, right, into kind of a set thing. So I have a mindset about Brother Grant. Okay, I have a mindset that he drives too fast on some of those hills coming through this area. Okay? I have no idea because I've only driven with him once, but the point is, let's say I saw some things where he was driving kind of fast and, you know, and gravel's flying all over the place and I'm praying a lot, and I realized, boy, driving with him, you know, he's a fast driver. In fact, you were a fast driver at one time, weren't you? Yeah, I just thought of that. But the mindset is that that's, okay, that he's a fast driver or a crazy driver or whatever it is. So my thoughts have crystallized into a mindset. My opinions have kind of come to a place where they've kind of come to conclusion. And the Lord says to Peter, Peter, you know, your problem is you're rebuking me here now, Peter, about the thing that's actually going to save your soul. You're rebuking me that I'm the creator of the world, but I'm telling you, I didn't come here to save the world right now. I mean, I did, but I came to die, right? This is what I did. I came to die. And Peter says, don't be talking about this, Lord. I just got done saying you're the anointed one. Don't be telling people, just like raining on our parade, that you're going to be killed. And he didn't get the part about the raising of three days later. They never quite getting that till later. And the Lord says, your mindset, Peter, is you're thinking the way that men think, not the way that God would think. And so, therefore, I'm going to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Isn't that interesting? Because if I'm thinking like a man or a woman, but we're talking about a person, in the human race, if I'm just going to think like a man thinks and leave God out of it, that is the way Satan would think. So at any time in your life, can I say this? At any time in your life, you're either thinking like God or you're aligning yourself with the way man would think, i.e. unsaved man, even the devil. So we want to talk about changing our thoughts by the word of God, because my wife and I can have conversations throughout the day and we can actually be thinking like men, just like people. Like we can say this, oh, we got this big bill coming. And we don't know how we're going to pay for this. We've got a big bill coming, and you know, income has been down, and this thing's due at the end of the month, and we're not going to make it. And we could be all anxious and stressed, and I could be upset at her saying, you know, if you wouldn't have bought that thing the other day, you know, on Amazon or whatever, and she'll say, well, if you wouldn't have bought that new car, and I'll be like, what's wrong with having 12 cars? You know, I mean, you shouldn't have bought that thing on Amazon for $33, you know, and we can go at it and all these things. And what it's doing is we're thinking like men. We're not bringing God into it. I talked to men last night about how unbelief is where you leave God out. Trust is where you bring him in. And God's always trying to get us to think like him. Would that be sound like a biblical statement? Amen. He's always trying to get us to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So there's only two directions your thought can go at any one point. Towards God and the way he would think, and the way he wants to think, Bible thoughts, scriptural thoughts, godly thoughts, or I can try to interpret life like the way a person would. And we always get in trouble when we interpret life the way a person would. Okay, so let's jump into this. The importance of your mind. I wanted to say a few things about the importance of your mind and your thoughts inside your mind. But before we do that, let's go to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, now, you can look it up, but here's that idea of freeing again. Okay, so now we're specifically told not to have the mindset of God, like Peter's being rebuked. You have the mindset, Peter. Your mindset is the way a man thinks, that just... You know, you're totally, that guy, Peter, if you'd have it your way, Peter, if you'd have your way, you would disrupt this whole plan. You would just want me to stay alive and with all of you and keep doing these miracles and healing people and doing all these things and never dying. And that's what the devil would say too, because once he figures out when I die, That's going to be the way to save the entire world. And you're keeping me from that, and you've got to trust me this way, that you're thinking like a man. You're not thinking like a God. If you're thinking like God, you would say, Lord, this is sad from a human standpoint, but I realize this is what you got to do, because you're going to save the whole world. And somehow, even though Peter didn't understand all the things, he was thinking like a man. Now, we come to Philippians 2:5, and the Lord says flat out, under inspiration, Paul says this, let this mind be in you, which is also Christ Jesus. So now, again, it comes down to the idea of freeing. Our mind is probably, spiritually speaking, the most important thing we have. It works in conjunction with our heart, and everything about us that's spiritually going to happen right is going to come from being processed through our mind. Okay, so we'll say this. So if you're jotting some notes down, I'll give you several points here. First of all, the mind, or your mind, is where you process thoughts about God, this world, your life, circumstances, etc. Okay, so your mind is where you process thoughts about God and this world, your life, circumstances, etc. So your mind is interpreting circumstances in the way our mind, if we have a spiritual mindset, we're going to interpret circumstances in this life in the way that would be God-honoring. Like, for instance, those of you who know the Lord, when you go through hard things, it'll be something where you will, by God's grace, be able to say, the Lord has a purpose for this. Right? And even though you don't know the purpose, you're trying to think, this is how God would want me to think about this, because all things work together for what? Yeah, you know, if you're thinking like a man, you'll think that a lot of things work together for junk, for just disastrous. You can think, like, there's no reason for this health problem. There's no reason that, my children, you know, this thing happened in their life. Or, you know, there's no reason that this person died years ago that, you know, it's like, well.
The earthly purpose is going to be caught up in a heavenly purpose, and God says all things work together for good. And if we're thinking like people, sometimes we think things aren't good. Things are actually bad sometimes. Now, I don't know if you're a conservative or a liberal, but let's say that you would think that the election should have gone toward Trump back in the fall. Okay, this is not a political thing here, but just so you know, I have a shirt underneath that says Trump. No, I don't. Okay. But let's say, so then Biden gets elected, and then we find out that Biden maybe he's not even always mentally with us. I don't know, but he does seem to do unique things. And we could say, this is bad, we've got to get Trump back in, or we've got to get, you know, DeSantis in, or we've got to get, the Republicans have got to take back over the Senate, or the House, and get a majority of the Senate, and all sorts of stuff, because this stinks. Well, guess what? Do you think God knows that Biden's in the White House? Do you think that if any cheating went on that put Biden in the White House, do you think that got by God, where God's like, oh, I knew I should have been more involved in local politics. You know, I knew I should have checked those machines. You know, I knew I should have, all things work together for good, don't they?
Right.
Now, if we don't believe that, that's Romans 8:28. That's one of the most clear verses in the Bible, that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. But if we don't have that mindset, we'll think things are terrible.
Yeah.
And then we got at all costs to get him out of here, but if we get Biden out there, who's next? Kamala Harris? Would that be better?
Yeah.
You know, and then after her, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, things are great if we get Biden out there, right? I mean, it just keeps getting better and better, or worse and worse. And we got to have the mindset that God's in control, amen?
Amen.
That way we don't get all out of sorts and realize, well, they stole the election, and, you know, they may have stole the election. I'm not even getting political here. I wouldn't even plan on saying this. All I'm saying is this. If you're a believer, you've got someone who doesn't get voted out every 4 years. And then nobody's stealing some election from him. God is always in control.
Amen.
And a spiritual believer will say, you know what? Things are going to be okay because I know who's in charge. And this is where we have to begin to think that my mind is where I process these things, though. And if I don't have a spiritual mind, guess what? I'm always going to come to the wrong conclusion. Because my thoughts are going to determine what my mind comes to, my mindset becomes. And if my thoughts are leaving God out of it, then my mindset ultimately is going to be a Christian who just kind of acts like a man. Even though I do believe I'm saved, and I do believe that, you know, God wrote the Bible and all sort of stuff, but I can be a very worldly-minded person. and a very temporal-minded person. So let's say my wife gets very sick. And I can interpret that as, oh, this is terrible. We don't have, you know, the way to finance this, and who knows what the future holds, just like your pastor's wife. It's just like, these health things can be very concerning. And a worldly-minded person, or a person who's going to not think about things of God, is going to be all distraught. So what does this mean? So let me ask you, are you a worrywart? Do you know that if your mindset is that you're okay because you have God,
Yeah. You
won't be a worrywart. And if God himself, the fact that he's in charge ultimately, if that's not going to be enough, which is the real reality, then you're going to start dealing with things that aren't reality, which is all the potentialities. And worry is all based upon not reality, but potentiality, isn't it? It's based on things that might happen, or could happen, or will happen if. So it has ifs in there, and it has all these conditional things. And a person who is going to walk with God can deal with worry at its roots by being okay that God's in control and not having to know what tomorrow holds and not having to know what next week holds or not knowing how this next thing is going to play out because I'm putting my mind on things above. So my mind is where I process these things. Peter processed them and came up with the wrong conclusion. He said, if you're going to die, this is bad news. And the Lord turns to him and says, Satan? Well, why does he say Satan? That's pretty strong words. Because you're thinking like a man. And at any given time in your life, you're either aligning yourself with the way God would want you to or with Satan. There's only, someone has said there's only two wills in the universe. There's God's will and Satan's will. And any time we're aligning ourselves with one or the other. Now, we would say, well, there's God's will and my will. No, there's not really, because my will is aligned isn't one of those two. So it's really under Satan's will. I'm just aligned with him. Or it's God's will in the same way in my thoughts. Can you go with me to Psalm 119? Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, of course, the largest chapter in the Bible. In fact, let's quote Psalm 119 from memory. Can we do that this morning? I'm joking. Okay. Okay. Yes, Mike, we're going to come up here and quote it word perfect. We'll give you a couple misses, but if you would pretty much do it word perfect, that'd be great. Psalm 119, look at 59. I thought on my ways. So there's the idea of thoughts. So the writer of Psalm 119 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. See, what he did is he thought, and then what he did is he turned toward God's word. Okay, and this is the secret to the Christian life. One of them is that we got to continue to turn our thoughts toward what we know to be true from the Bible and what we need to know to be true from God. Okay, so number one is the mind is where you process thoughts about God, this world, your life, circumstance, etc. Number two, your mind is where you are becoming the person you will become. So in your mind is where you first become the person you will become later. So if I allow critical thoughts in my mind about, let's say, Mike, for whatever reason, I'm just picking names out here. Let's say I begin to get critical about other believers. In my mind is where I first become the person I will become. And you know I can become so critical about people that eventually I just become a critic about everything. And I'm not happy with anything. And it could be that I'm not happy with Mike because Mike, I didn't like the way he led the group up here. Okay, he kind of took over. And I don't like strong leaders. And so I'm going to go to Mike and say, Mike, don't just act like you know everything. You're not the pastor, you know. And Mike says, well, I'm not. They didn't think I was the pastor. I said, yeah, but I thought you acted that way. Instead of thinking, okay. So then later on, Mike gets up and he's very low key. And he doesn't do anything. He's like, what do you guys want to do today? Okay. And that's more my style, right? I don't want to be a strong leader. I want to be kind of a weak fish. And he says, what do you want to do today? Do you want to memorize letter K or say K or do you want to say J? And I say, that's not good. And I'm just critical of him now. And I'm doing, you know why he backed off? He backed off only because I said something. But if he gets a minute, he'll take control again. I can be critical of everything. Why is maybe you're critical of your husband and you don't like it because he's late? Like he comes home late from work. Anybody ever come home late from work? Or he works too much? or you didn't help around the house enough. So then your husband comes home early one day, and since you can't cream him for being late, you're like, well, first time in 20 years. You see my point? A critic can't be happy with anything. So we become who we become by what's going on in our thoughts. So we can be a person who is a worrier, and then we can begin to worry about all sorts of things, and we can just become neurotic about stuff. We can start getting ulcers, all sorts of things. It starts first in my mind. Number three is this. Your spiritual life is determined by your thinking. Your spiritual life is determined by your thinking. The future, you could say it this way too, the future of your spiritual life is determined by the condition of things in your mind. So the future of your spiritual life. So again, the person you are in your mind is who you are going to become more and more later. And if you want to become a spiritual person, then the future of your spiritual life is determined by the condition of things in your thoughts and in your mind. And that's why you've got to fill your mind with God's word, and you've got to fill your mind with godly thoughts and godly viewpoints and this type of thing. Okay, so we all know that your mind is a very powerful aspect of your being. But your thoughts determine how you turn out later for the Lord. And you could write this down. The path to spiritual growth goes through your thoughts. So I will never be a spiritual person unless I think spiritual things. All right? Because in my mind, I first become the person I'm going to become, that I am becoming. So I can never be spiritual unless somewhere down the line I start thinking a spiritual thought, and then I think another spiritual thought, and then I think another spiritual thought. So what about you today? Have you had thoughts today that were not spiritual? Do you know that most people in church, they want to be at some level, they want to be a spiritual person? You know how you get there? One thought at a time. Turning a thought you have toward God. Husbands, let's say you have a problem with anger. You know where anger starts? Starts in your mind. Because anger is an emotion. But you know what fuels our emotions? Your thoughts. Every time. So someone has said, no emotion can be sustained without thought. So if I'm an angry person, that means I keep fueling it with certain thoughts. So if you say, I just wish I knew how I could overcome my anger problem. Well, you know how you do it? One thought at a time. Turning that next thought that wants to express itself and wants to deal with anger as a man and somehow bring it to God and bring God into the situation. Spiritual thinking develops spiritual people. Now, we don't have much time here, but a couple more thoughts here. Many Christians want to live Christ-like, but you cannot live the life of Christ without having the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you. It's from the word phroneo, the idea of freeing. He's talking about your mindset, so I'll say it again. Most Christians, or sincere Christians, want to live Christ-like, but you cannot have the life of Christ without having the mind of Christ. You could write this down. If God is first place in your thoughts, he will be first place in your life. End of story. If God is first place in your thoughts, he will be first place in your life. All right, so it starts with my life. A couple of verses you might want to write down. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So where does peace come from? You say, I wish I had more peace in my life. Well, Isaiah 26:3. Who gets perfect peace? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on these. So peace doesn't come through having all the answers to all of life's problems or puzzles or questions, like how is this going to work out, or what about this, or why did this happen? Peace does not come from having all the answers, because if it did, none of us would ever have peace. Peace comes from our mind set on the one who does have all the answers. Amen? In other words, I don't have them. God won't let me have them. I'm not God. I can't be like God. The only way I can be like God is in my thoughts, where I'm thinking thoughts that would reflect God's glory, that would honor God, that would please him, and trusting him with life's difficulties.
And if I won't, then I'll forever be just a nominal Christian who thinks like a man. Now, Peter later on becomes a tremendous Christian, doesn't he? But early on in his life, he was always opening his mouth and inserting foot, because he was all about how men think. And the Lord had to change him. And one way is that, of course, you deal with your thoughts. A couple of the verses here. Mark 12, verse 29 and 30. Do you know what the greatest commands are? The greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And strength gets thrown in there sometimes too. Your mind. So you know what God wants from my family? He wants us to love. The first commandment. This is not like way down the line somewhere. This is the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. So God claims the space of your head. He claims the space of your thought life. He claims the space of your mind. And if we don't let him have that space, if we don't love him with all our mind, if we don't say, you know what? This up here is supposed to glorify God. And if I'm thinking angry thoughts, and if I'm thinking worrisome thoughts, and if I'm thinking critical thoughts, and if I've got all these things going on in my head that have nothing to do with God, and I'm just kind of all over the board, and God's like, you know, Jesus wasn't like that. Because he was God, and he had Christ-like thoughts, of course. And we just have to get back to the place where my problems in my spiritual life come from thinking first. So we're to have the mind of Christ. My job is to keep God great in my mind throughout the day. This is what God wants. Another point or two. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, I need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If I have 70,000 thoughts in my head a day, that's a lot of thoughts, right? I wonder how many of your thoughts are godly thoughts. Supposed to bring every thought captive. Romans 7:25, Paul says, with my mind I serve the law of Christ. Philippians 2:5 that we already looked at, let this mind be in you. As we close, years ago, I had a car, this is before I was married, and I had a car, and I had sunglasses, and I would keep in the visor, there was a place to put my sunglasses. Any of you have something like that, you have something where you put your box of sunglasses? There's a little, just a little strap, and I used to put my sunglasses up there to kind of keep them out of the way. But I was a bachelor, right, and so sometimes I'd just throw them on the seat. When I'd get out, no big deal, right? Just throw my sunglasses on the seat next to me because my wife wasn't. She didn't like me at that time. No, we joke. So she wasn't right next to me because she didn't know me. So my sunglasses and all, you know, Frito-Lay bags and everything else were out of the seat. You know, newspapers from 100 years ago, everything in that seat. And one day, I get in the car and I sit down in the driver's seat and I sat and smashed my sunglasses. I bent them. Because I put them when I got out of the car, instead of putting them in the air seat, I put them in the seat. And I sat on them. You know, and then you put your sunglasses and they look like this, right? You can't look cool when your sunglasses are all like that. And but you know what would have solved that problem? If I had my sunglasses where they should have been. Above. Do you know what solves your problems? Put your thoughts on things above. If they're down here, you're bound to get them crushed. You're bound to get messed up. You're bound to get frantic. You're bound to get angry. You're bound to become a Christian who everything is about this life, this life, this life. And this life's not good. You don't bring God in this life. And the thought that we want to leave with you today, thought, is this. In your mind, God has claimed the space in your mind. And if you will set your affection, in Colossians 3:2, if you'll say that afterwards, set your affection, is from the same idea of freeing. Put your mind up there. Now today you'll have a chance to do that by hearing God's word. But the challenge is to take what you hear today, right, and apply it this afternoon, and tonight, and tomorrow at work, or with the kids, or at home, whatever you need. Think thoughts of God. But you'll never do it if you're not in the Word. This is where the thoughts are coming from. Let's pray. Father, help us. I pray you'd be with us today and help us to think godly thoughts, and help us to turn our thoughts towards you. It brings perfect peace when our mind and our thoughts are stayed on you. Thank you that we can have the mind of Christ, one thought at a time. Help us, Lord, today. Thank you for the dear people in Jesus' name. Amen.